The Cubs, the Bears, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, the White Sox, and the Black Sox. Chicago has long had lots of teams, and the teams have generated lots of stories. And some of the best of those stories were written by the writers represented in From Black Sox to Three-Peats, a century of Chicago's best sports writing, edited by Ron Rappaport, who joins me from NPR West. Ron, welcome back to Only a Game.
Good to be with you, Bill.
There is a lot of writing about the Cubs here, inevitably, but I want to focus on two stories, and one of them is yours, titled Roof Bums. The last lines of that story are so beautifully understated. It goes like this. The last game of the year is always so sad, Jill said. It signals the end of summer and the beginning of bad weather, Rita answered. Last year, Jill said, my daughter cried. Boy, you really found the right people to talk to up on that roof overlooking Wrigley Field.
Well, thanks, Bill. I always liked that column because it was one of those, I can't believe they're paying me to do this columns. You know? They don't come along very often. But I have to admit, looking at it today, it's pretty quaint because the owners of the buildings across the street from Wrigley Field now charge as much money to see a game from the roofs as the Cubs do for seats in the stadium.
The other Cubs column I want to mention is by Mike Royko, and it's a book review, sort of. Mr. Royko kicks, tears apart, and otherwise mauls a book by Keith Hernandez of the New York Mets. He uses bits of it for kindling, and then he tries to read from it. Could a baseball story column like that be written in any other city?
I think not. You know, Mike was not a sports columnist, but the column you mention is, to me, the funniest sports column I have ever read. You know, I will begin my review by saying this is a very solid book. The moment I opened the package and saw what it was about, I threw it against the wall as hard as I could. Then I slammed it to the floor, jumped up and down on it. I beat on it with a chair for several minutes until I slumped onto my couch, emotionally and physically spent. Although slightly scuffed, the book was still intact.
And that's before he starts ripping out pages and using them for kindling.
Well, the last lines are classic. Then I pour myself a drink, lower the lights, sit back and stare at the crackling flames, and I pretend that I'm looking at Shea Stadium.
One of the most powerful columns in the collection is by Wendell Smith. His writing, which was syndicated in a number of black newspapers, was instrumental to the integration of Major League Baseball. Tell us a little bit about Mr. Smith's later work and the column titled, We Are Tired of Staying in Flophouses.
Well, Wendell Smith was the most influential black sports writer of them all. Late in his career, Wendell comes to Chicago and works. Now he's working for a white newspaper, the Chicago American. Well, it's 1961 or two now, 14, 15 years after baseball has been integrated, and he immediately begins another crusade to end segregation in spring training. Mm-hmm. And particularly he goes after the White Sox because that's the Chicago team that he's involved with. And the headline of the column is he quotes some of the players as saying, we are tired of living in flophouses. He writes a number of columns, and I'm proud to have two of them in the book, just holding the White Sox feet to the fire and embarrassing them to tears. Well, Wendell had, just as he had helped Jackie Robinson enter baseball, he almost single-handedly ended segregation in spring training. The White Sox the next year went up and bought their own hotel. All the players, black and white, lived together in spring training. And within a couple of years, all of spring training through all of baseball was integrated. Wendell Smith was a great man.
Ron, obviously we can't discuss each entry in the book, but I want to give you the opportunity to talk about one more of your favorites. Give us a sense of another column or story without which this volume would just be incomplete.
Well, there are three columns from John Shulian in this book, and I couldn't imagine a book without John's work in it, and it was a question of keeping it down to three. But it's interesting, as I've been doing some interviews for this book, and seen some of the reviews and articles about it, the one piece that everybody comes back to is a piece about a mean streets neighborhood in Chicago where three basketball players who are on the brink of taking DePaul to the Final Four and the NCAA tournament have all grown up. One of those players, Mark Aguirre, will become an NBA All-Star, lead the league in scoring, and win two NBA titles. Another one, Skip Dillard, will serve 4 years in jail for armed robbery to support a cocaine habit. And the third, Bernard Randolph, will spend time in a mental hospital and become a street person with no known address. Here's John's lead about a place called K-Town. Even in the loving glow of noonday sun, with March pretending it's May, and the thermometer skipping towards 60, K-Town has trouble wiping the sorrow from its face. On the west side streets that gave birth to the neighborhood's name, on Kedvale and Keeler and the half-dozen others, there are too many boarded-up windows, too many burned-out houses, too many cars with flat tires or no tires at all. Stray dogs wander listlessly. Ragged men kill time with bottles and brown bags. And the only sign of hope is a bouncing basketball.
It's beautifully done, isn't it?
It really is. One of the interesting things is that the column appears in a section that I called Neighborhoods. And that section ends with one written 30 years later by Rick Talender about another Chicago basketball player who grew up in a different neighborhood. And the headline, I guess, tells it all. If they don't have a truce by Tuesday, Derrick Rose Day will never happen. Not much has changed, I'm afraid.
Ron Rappaport is the editor of From Black Sox to Three Peats, A Century of Chicago's Best Sports Writing, and the anthology is published by the University of Chicago Press. The editor spoke with me from NPR West. Ron, thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Music Emporium, for 45 years offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars. TheMusicEmporium.com. And Eton, offering the American Red Cross radio line a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel. Now at Radio Shack. This is NPR.